فعلا.
Yasmin.
Hi, Jasmine. Yet I don't think he's come on yet.
Oh, Hannah. Hi.
Hi.
I got your email.
Okay. You should get it.
Thank
I think
you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
I was glad to do it for you.
Hey. Oh my gosh. Today was, I think, the hottest day ever.
I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
I think that today was the hottest day ever.
It was hot. It too.
Oof.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bakoa. Yadula Chimincha. Tati. Cherura. Alafekimo Yutat Sadi. Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagvenu tacharenu no ra kufre shayim sintet nun na gibor dor sheyehudcha givavat shamren Nun gimel dalad, yud kaf shin. Barchem tacharem, rachame sitkatcha, tamid dakam len. Betet resh, tzaditach gimel. The letters of the month of Av, the Kaf that created the planet we call the Sun, the planet Shemesh, also known as Chama, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the Lion, which is the astrological sign of Leo. Chasin Kadosh, Berov Tuvcha, Na'el Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geya Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamed Hey Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyutav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. And now we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohe Wahe. Adonai Yohe Wahe. El Rahum Vehanun. Erech Apayim. Veral Chesed Ve'emet. Notzer Chesed La'alafim. Noseawon Wafesha. Vechata'av Ve'nakeim. We're now going to connect to the year 5777, known as the year of the goat. There are two verses in the Tanakh that have the same energy. The first that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52, and we will start with L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kusha Barichu, Ishkin Debi Kilu. Urhimud, hilud, hilu, urhimu. Liakta, lishem, yud, hey, bavav, hey. Bihuda, shalim, bishem, kol, Yisrael. Limud, Torah, mitzvah. La, sok, Torah, mitzvah. Vaihino, amadonai, Elohinu, alena, masay, adenu, konane, alena, masay, adenu, konane, hu. So tzaduni katzipor oyevai hinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create tzatzkiya, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to create bir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the energy of the goat has concealed within it the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. These letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim Ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. We're going to connect to the year 5776, known as the year of the pause. There are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first verse that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse
34. Ad gelot hamlacha v'ad yitkachu hakohanim ki halivim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe, La La He, Wa Wa Wa, Yola Yo Ala Me, Hey Hey Hey, Aka A, Reka Ha. The second verse that connects to this year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidchu ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Tzur Olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishemi meni lo tarpeni adbili ruki. Next, we study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru Udu Mikol Hamachavoyam Asher Yitchabe Sham Wishavtem Eli El Nachum Wechalati Yitchem Wechayim Yeshno Varetz Vichipasti Oto Bekol Alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'al yom ru'ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. That is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasam ti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakam ta'akta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto ka'asher barishona. And now we're going to study a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It's from Parasha Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Beka Matar Tane Nan Dekucha Rihu Koma Diaved Leela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Bele Lach Mila Bialma Bivae Barnash Bedahya Leya Nine Yaulan Haga Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Witkola Isterit. Now we're going to connect to the 72 names of God by stating the names using the root vowels for the letters within the name. Wahe wayo layo sayo te alame mehe shilalahe yaka akaheta. Ezayo alada la awa heya yozala me behe hereyo heko me la awa kalayo la wawa pehela nula ha yo 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 me la he wa nuta he he hai ha. Hey ah ah, yo re ta shi ah hey, re yo yo ah wa me, la ka be wa shi re, yo re wa la he he, ka wa ko me nu da, anu yo he ah me, re hai ah, yo yo za. Hey, 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 may yo ka, wa wa la yo la he, sa la la a re yo, a shi la me yo he, wa he wa da nu yo, hey, hey, shi a me me, nu nu a nu yo ta, me be he pe wa yo. Nu me me a yo yo la, hey re he,
Meitzare. Wa me be yo he he. Anu wa me he yo. Da me be me nuko. Ayo wa he be wa. Re a he yo be me. He yo yo me wa me. And now to connect to the 72 names of God, connected from the Tzaddikim, or revealed through the Tzaddikim. And again, we will say the names out loud using the root vowel of the letters. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be me te a a me me be shi la yo he. Anu akameta. Hey, hey, yo, anu da la he we wa he mea. Yo tsa la me re he. Hey, yo, yo, hey, me, me. La wa wa ka be yo. La yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo. Me nu he he. Hey wa nu yo hey hey shia yo raita shia hey ra la yo re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka ako me nu da anu yo. Hey wa me re he ya yo he cha he she he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo wa a la me ta he wa ta la yo he yo she a la me nu he ya nu wa ta me la he. Hey, I yo nu ko me, yo re la he be he, me za re wa he be, yo a he a la wa, me za yo da he be, me ka ko a la a, he ke wa re la ka he, yo yo me he la wa yo, me he me. And the names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 24th day of Av, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman, the son of Rabbi Menachem Margolis, and Rabbi Yitzhak Kovot Hasheni, the second Yitzhak Kovot. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. We're now going to connect to the meditation the Ari has given us for this period between Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Yo Wada, Yo Wada, Hey Ya, Yo Wada, Hey Ya, Wa Wa, Yo Wada, Hey Ya. Wa wa hey ya, yo wa da, yo wa da, hey ya, yo wa da, hey ya, wa wa, yo wa da, hey ya, wa wa hey ya, yo wa da, yo wa da, hey ya, yo wa da, hey ya, wa wa, yo wa da, hey ya. Wa wa hey ya, yo wa da, yo wa da, hey ya, yo wa da, hey ya, wa wa, yo wa da, hey ya, wa wa hey ya, yo wa da, yo wa da, hey ya, yo wa da, hey ya, wa wa, yo wa da, hey ya. Wa wa hey ya. So today's class
can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. I'm sorry, it can be found on the Unique Astrological Times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every ESM webpage. If you're connecting through your mobile device, that may be at the bottom of the page. When you open up the Unique Astrological Times page, scroll down slightly to where it says Preparation for Elul and Tishrei Holidays. Click on that. When that opens up, scroll down to Class 1B, which is a study of the Halakha for the children of Noah, which is all of the people, in understanding the Halakha and the procedures of Teshuvah. When Class 1B opens up, that's where we will start reading. And this is chapter 3 of the book, The Path of the Righteous Gentile, which is an introduction to the seven laws of the children of Noah. And this is chapter 3, Returning to God. If any single concept exemplifies the knowledge of Hashem, it is Judaism's belief that man can achieve complete repentance. Judaism does not even find the word repentance sufficient, for repentance presupposes a natural state of sinfulness, from which in reality there is no complete return. The Jewish concept is called teshuvah, return. My commentary. The Kabbalah teaches that it actually means return the hay. The hay is a metaphor for the physical world, which becomes separated from the flow of Shefa, God's goodness, and spiritual energy of good. Thus, teshuvah means to restore the physical world by reattaching it to the spiritual levels, since the action of a mistake or a sin causes the physical world to become separated from that flow of goodness called Shefa. Christianity, for example, views man as being a hopeless victim of original sin. In that light, complete repentance is impossible. How can one return to one's pure nature if the pure nature itself is blemished? In truth, repentance is withheld from the sinner only by his own evil mind and deceitful heart. If he sincerely wishes to draw near to Hashem, the gates of repentance are open to him, and no hindrance exists which can prevent him from attaining this goal. On the contrary, Hashem opens the gates of righteousness for all, and in his loving kindness and goodness, he instructs man in the good way. As it is written, God and upright is the Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach sinners the way. And it is also written, the Lord is close to all who call upon him in truth. How can the Christian idea of original sin be acceptable when nine souls have ascended to their eternal reward without experiencing death? The nine who entered the Garden of Eden without tasting death are Hanoch ben Yared, Elijah, the Messiah, Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, Ovid, the king of Cush,
Hiram, the king of Tzor. Ya'abetz, the grandson of Rabbi Yudah the prince. Sarah, the daughter of Asher, who is the son of Jacob. And Batya, the daughter of Pharaoh, who adopted Moses. There is an opinion that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is one of these nine instead of Hiram, the king of Tzor. My commentary. The sages teach that the Mashiach will be the tenth. Since there are two Mashiach, does that mean that there will be a total of 11? If we are successful in preventing the death of Mashiach ben Ephraim, Mashiach ben Joseph. It's also interesting to note, this is an unwritten commentary, that some of these people are not Jewish who went into heaven without having to die because they completed their full tikkun, meaning they completed their full teshuvah. So you don't have to be Jewish to achieve that. Continuing to read. The most notable of these, of course, is the prophet Elijah, who in his body ascended to heaven in a flaming chariot. Another was Sarah, the daughter of Asher. And Asher is the son of Jacob. And Sarah informed her grandfather, Jacob, that Joseph, his son, was alive and well in Egypt. Chassidim teach that the Baal Shem Tov was offered the opportunity to be the tenth, to leave this earth without dying, but he chose to experience death. He saw everything as emanating solely from Hashem, therefore ultimately good and worth experiencing. As it says, the feet of the Shekhinah descend even unto death. Judaism rejects the notion of being trapped by original sin. The oral tradition teaches that at Mount Sinai, the children of Israel attained perfection, rising above death, only to fall again with the sin of the golden calf. It is possible to say, therefore, that Israelites and the Noahites, all of mankind, have different sins to overcome to return to their pristine state. Israel must reject idolatry, whereas the Noahite is to observe general obedience to Hashem's word to rectify Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden. We learn that Abraham and Sarah fulfilled what Adam and Eve failed to fulfill. And Jacob, through his exalted service of God, achieved a true rectification of the sin of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. My commentary. In our generation, we are bringing children of mixed nations. This is the outcome of marriages between various races and religions. How does this relate to the teaching above that Israel and the Noahites have different tikkunim? The souls of the children are composed of 613 sparks, as taught in the Gates of Reincarnation by Rabbi Chaim Vital, based on the teachings of Rabbi Isaac Luria. Thus, these children have tikkunim from both aspects, from idol worship and observing the general mitzvot of the Noahites. This is my opinion. This means that man can return to Hashem no matter how far he has fallen. the methods of man's return to his true and sinless state of being is systematically delineated in Judaism and workable by anyone, whether Israelite or Noahite. Why should man strive to return to Hashem? The simple reason is, of course, to avoid punishment. But there is a nobler reason. Suppose a person had in his possession a great painting by Rembrandt, as an example. Not knowing it was a treasured object, he had stored it away in the attic, gathering dust and mold. Once he learns the painting is real and that he has a masterpiece in his possession, the person will certainly go up to the attic, retrieve the painting, clean it off, and restore it to its original state. Is a person's own soul not worthy of a similar honor? For it is said that of all the treasures entrusted to you by your Creator, the one most worthy of honor is your own soul. My commentary. Why return to Hashem? This is a significant question that each person needs to answer for themselves. The simple answer is, as said, is to avoid punishment. Is this a sufficient answer for you? Do you accept this as an answer? Or do you need another answer? May something more deep? You need to delve deeper in order to answer the question. Another reason to return to Hashem, to doing teshuvah, is that something is bothering you about a previous action. Teshuvah is a method of cleansing this feeling so that you do not continue to feel separation between you and Hashem, or between you and another person. Part 2. God's kindness to man. A person must realize that God, blessed be He, is more merciful to man than anyone or anything else can be. The Creator, blessed be He, does not conceal anything from a person who might improve his personal welfare. Man is God's creation, and no one can better understand how to care for a creation that is than its original maker. If this principle applies to a human craftsman who does not create any new form, but merely changes the form of an already existing creation, then certainly it is true of Hashem, who brought man into being from nothingness and sustains him at every instance and every second. Hashem is all-knowing in the ways of what is best for man, what can damage him and what will work to his advantage. Point 2. One should contemplate and know that God lavishes great and abundant kindness on man. From the beginning of human existence, Hashem has bestowed these kindnesses even without man's being worthy of them or even aware of them. And it is not because God has a need for man, but only because of God's great goodness and generosity. My commentary. The Tanya and the Chabad organization is currently teaching, and has been for a long time, a different approach to this issue. It teaches that God does need our mitzvot. Since a man feels pleasure in watching his children and grandchildren grow to become adults, God perceives man as his children
And doing mitzvot causes man to grow, and thus Hashem needs but does not need man to perceive this feeling of pleasure. Section 3, or number 3. One should also realize clearly that Hashem observes him at all times, and that there is nothing hidden from Hashem. All stand revealed before him. Hashem knows whether or not a person has complete trust in Hashem. Therefore, it is fitting for a person to trust Hashem and turn to him, abandoning ways contrary to him. By observing the 7 Noahide mitzvot with care and deliberation, one demonstrates that he has put his complete trust in Hashem. Hashem will then reciprocate with trust in man, leading him to success and happiness in all matters. Section 4. There is no miracle in the creation as great as returning to Hashem through repentance. Repentance is greater than wisdom. By means of wisdom, man can discriminate between good and evil, choosing the good and rejecting the evil. Nevertheless, the evil remains evil. But through teshuvah, man has the miraculous power to convert evil into good. For the sins and the remorse of having committed them are the very things that draw a person to Hashem with impassioned longing and great love. Therefore, through repentance, the sins themselves become transformed from evil to good. My commentary. Please learn this aspect of teshuvah well. Your negative actions become positive actions and merits to receive goodness and pleasure when you do. When you do teshuvah in a complete manner. Study our classes on advanced teshuvah. This is also a sharing reason for one to do teshuvah, since it is only through teshuvah that we can earn the merit to manifest Mashiach. Section 5. A Hasidic Rebbe once happened upon a person who was a notorious sinner. The Rebbe walked up to the man and confessed that he was envious of him. But Rebbe, the man said, amazed, "You are a saint, and I am a sinner. Why should you be envious of me?" "Because," the Rebbe answered, "you can bring a much greater light into the world than I can. I can only bring goodness to the world by resisting sin and doing what I am supposed to do. You can transform thousands, maybe millions of evil deeds into wondrous merits by repenting and returning to Hashem." My commentary. There is the ultimate reason to do teshuvah, to reveal the light. This is studying or being busy, la'asok, with Torah for its own sake. Part 3. Advantages of repentance and how to achieve complete repentance. 1. If a person has transgressed one or all of the 7 Noahide mitzvot, either willfully or unintentionally, then he repents. When he repents, he is obligated to confess verbally specifying his sins before Hashem of kindness. Blessed be he. How should he confess? He should speak words to this effect. I implore you, Hashem. I have sinned unintentionally. I have sinned willfully. I have sinned spitefully. I have done thus and so. Specify the transgression. I regret my actions and am ashamed of them, and will not do thus them again. This is the essence of confession. Anyone who increases the content of his confession and elaborates upon it is praiseworthy. My commentary. On the Yeshem website, there is a Hebrew and English translation of the Vidui, the confession prayer. It is expressed in the plural and also in the order of the Hebrew alphabet. The plural indicates that we all do mistakes, and even if we do not do that specific mistake, that is included in the Bedui prayer. Our souls are connected as one to someone who has done that specific mistake. It is best to say the whole Bedui prayer and then specify the specific item you have done with details. And I will make a comment on written comments. The nighttime Shema has the Bedui prayer. We say the Bedui prayer at other times during the year. But on Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, the Bedui prayer is expanded. It includes the Hebrew alphabet, but it also includes the reverse order of the Hebrew alphabet, expressing different Hebrew words that may have similar meanings in English, but there's no simile, there's no synonym in Hebrew. So they are different. It's good to look at that, the Bedui prayer, including those items that come from the more complete the Bedui prayer associated with the high holidays. One day I hope to have that included in our discussion and our teachings on this website. Number two, the punishment imposed on a person by a Noahide court of law serves as an atonement for the transgression if the person confesses his sin to God in the above manner. If one injures a friend or causes him monetary loss, even if he has paid back what he owes, he has not atoned for his transgression until he confesses to God and resolves never to repeat such a deed again. Repentance atones for all sins. Even if one is evil in all the days of his life and returns to Hashem on the last day, none of his wickedness is mentioned to him in the divine judgment. So we need to begin to understand what is complete repentance. If after having confessed, it occurs to the person to repeat the transgression done in the past, and if the opportunity to repeat the transgression presents itself, but he resists,
and refrains from doing it solely because of teshuvah, and not because of his fear of anyone or his fear of being caught, and not because he is too weak physically and can no longer steal, can no longer do the negative action, then he has achieved complete repentance. For example, if a man has had a forbidden relationship with a woman and he has repented and confessed, and after a time it happens that he finds himself alone with her again, or in a similar circumstance with a different woman, and now he resists and does not transgress, this person has accomplished complete repentance. Section 5. If a person returns to Hashem, repenting of his transgressions only in his old age, at a time of life when he is no longer able to repeat the transgressions of the past, although this is not the highest form of repentance, he is still considered a true penitent who has returned to Hashem. Section 6. Even if one transgresses all his life and repents on the day of his death and dies as a penitent, all his sins are forgiven. Thus, if one remembers his Creator and returns to him before he dies, he is forgiven. But how do you know when you're going to die? So you need to remember your Creator every day and return to him every day of your life. Section 7. And what is repentance? It is the sinner's abandonment of his sin, removing it from his thoughts, resolving not to do it again. Consequently, he regrets what has happened in the past and accepts Hashem, the knower of secrets, as his witness, that he will never return to such a sin again. And he must confess verbally the resolutions that he made in his heart. My commentary. Complete teshuvah includes Hashem as the witness who gives testimony that the penitent will not do that action ever again. One who confesses with words and does not resolve in his heart to leave his sin is like one who immerses in a mikveh, cleansing pool, while holding a dead rat in his hand. The immersion in the pool brings no purification until he discards the unclean object. Section 9. On the path of repentance, the penitent should cry to Hashem with tears and supplications and give charity according to his capability, at least 10% of his income, and preferably 20%. A person will spend all his money to save his life medically, how much more so to safeguard his eternal soul? He should also distance himself from the thing in which he sinned, or the person with whom he sinned, or even the place wherein he committed the sin. He should change all his deeds and tread a straight path, and he should exile himself from the present residence, since exile is atonement, because it brings a person to humility,
And the essence of repentance comes through a broken heart and a humble spirit. Section 10. It is praiseworthy for the penitent to confess publicly, even to the extent of informing others of his transgressions, saying to his peers, "I sinned against so-and-so, and I have done such and such, but I have changed my ways and deeply regret my past." Section 11. One who is haughty and will not inform others of his transgressions, choosing to conceal them, does not attain complete repentance. 12. Public declaration refers to the sins between oneself and his fellow man. The sins that are between oneself and his Creator need not be broadcast. And in fact, it is considered the ultimate of brazenness to reveal them, as it shows that the person is not embarrassed about them. Let him simply return to Hashem, blessed be he, specifying his sins before him. Any public confession should be in a general way without specifying actions, and he should consider it a blessing that the inequity has not become revealed. Section 13. The above-mentioned formula of repentance helps only with sins that one commits between the person and God. For sins that are between oneself and his fellow man, he has to pacify his fellow and ask forgiveness from him. If a person receives an apology, he should never refuse to be pacified, but should forgive easily and be slow to feel anger toward another. At the time someone asks forgiveness of him, he should grant favor with a full heart and a sincere spirit. Section 15. Every person should consider himself perfectly balanced between reward and punishment. Similarly, he should see the entire world as balanced with respect to his deeds. If he commits one sin, he tilts the scales of judgment for himself and also for the entire world toward guilt and condemnation. And consequently, he can be the cause of the whole world's destruction. But if he does not feel, but if he does one good deed, he tilts the scales of judgment toward merit and can bring salvation and deliverance for himself and the whole world. That's the end of our section. It's also the end of our class for tonight. We will continue this teaching on Thursday at our 7 o'clock class. Excuse me, at our 4:30 class. Our 7 o'clock class will be a Zohar class. Our class tomorrow at 4:30 will be a mini Zohar class. And on 7 o'clock class tomorrow, Wednesday, will be questions and answers. Does anyone have any questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Jasmine.
Hanok, what is the section of the Zohar that we're starting this week, since there is no parasha on the Zohar for this week?
We'll be studying
the parasha of Ekev this week, or continuing to study it from last week.
Okay.
Are there any other questions? You all have a good evening, and I hope to see you in tomorrow's classes. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.